Thank you very much, Cynthia, for that introduction, and thank you for helping to organize and moderate this event. I want to thank everybody who came here today. Is the mic working okay? Okay. And I want to also thank Dan Beaton and my colleagues at the Center for Economic and Policy Research for their help as well, and also the Embassy of Honduras, and especially for President Zelaya for taking the time to come here and speak with us. I just want to provide some background information. Cynthia already mentioned the details of the coup itself. But the world reaction to the overthrow of Honduran democracy was swift and determined. The Organization of American States, the General Assembly of the United Nations, and other international bodies unanimously called for the immediate and unconditional return of President Zelaya. The response from Washington has been more ambivalent and ambiguous, characterized by inconsistency and mixed messages. The first statement from the White House did not take sides between the coup government and the democratically elected president. Later statements did reject the coup, but on more than one occasion, our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was asked if restoring the constitutional order meant bringing back the elected president, and she declined to say yes. On August 4th, the State Department sent a letter to Republican Senator Richard Lugar that was widely seen as retreating from some of the prior statements in support of the elected president. Today, more than 2 months after the coup, quite astonishingly, the U.S. State Department has yet to determine that the Honduran military's overthrow of President Zelaya was actually a military coup. Under U.S. law, if our government makes that determination, it would be required to cut off aid to the de facto government of Honduras. And so, although a very small fraction of U.S. aid, about $18.5 million, has been cut, tens of millions of dollars more continue to flow to the dictatorship. But most disturbing of all to me has been the administration's deafening silence about the human rights abuses committed since June 28th by the Honduran dictatorship. The shootings, the arbitrary arrest and detention of thousands of people, the police beatings and brutality against peaceful protesters, the closing down of independent radio and TV stations, all of this has been investigated, documented, and denounced by human rights organizations from throughout the world. The Organization of American States, Inter-American Human Rights Commission, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, as well as Honduran and European rights organizations. Yet the Obama administration has so far remained silent. I say these things not to criticize the administration, but to appeal for your help. I voted for President Obama and was one of the first people out in the streets on the night of the election celebrating his victory. We all look forward to a new foreign policy and a new foreign policy in this hemisphere as well. And I still expect to see the changes that we voted for. There's no doubt that the United States government has the power to reverse this coup. And in the last 2 months, it has responded to pressure, both from within the United States and outside the United States. 16 members of the U.S. Congress sent a letter to President Obama on August 7th, asking him to denounce the repression committed by the de facto government and freeze the bank accounts of the coup leaders and deny them visas to the United States. The Union of South American Nations announced that it will not recognize any government that is elected under the dictatorship, because, you know, elections are scheduled for November 29th. On August 17th, the presidents of Mexico and Brazil signed a joint declaration saying the same thing. And it looks now like the Organization of American States will also follow. All of this has been noticed by the administration, and last week, the State Department moved a step closer to officially recognizing that a military coup has taken place. So I ask all of you here today, or those watching this on television or on the internet, take a moment to ask President Obama to live up to his promises. If you are representing a government, please try to get your government to speak out against the systematic repression in Honduras. As numerous presidents in this hemisphere have noted, this coup is a threat to democracy not only in Honduras, but throughout the region. The days when the military could overturn the will of the electorate were supposed to have gone away with the last century. We cannot afford to go back to those days. President Zelaya was overthrown because powerful special interests objected to his efforts to help and empower the majority of Hondurans who are poor. In his first 2 years, he succeeded in reducing poverty by 10%. He won a 60% increase in the minimum wage and a large increase in elementary school enrollment by getting rid of school tuition fees. These are the real reasons for the coup, which differ greatly from the fictional ones that we read and hear every day. But I will let President Zelaya give you a first-hand version of this story. History will record him as a hero for standing up to entrenched powerful interests and risking his life for democracy. We welcome President Zelaya.